Love.
Loveline is meant for an adult audience. Loveline may contain sexually oriented content. Listener discretion is advised. This is Loveline. With Adam Carolla and Dr. Drew.
Hey, buddy, it's Loveline. I'm Adam, that's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Dr. Drew, board-certified physician and addiction medicine specialist. Tonight, from The Apprentice, Audrey is here.
Hi.
I'm guessing almost everyone's favorite contestants, if that's what they are, in The Apprentice, which I watch religiously. Drew watches semi-religiously.
About as religiously as television is for me.
Yeah.
I mean, that's,
yeah, that's a show. Yeah. That's a show Drew likes.
Yeah.
And he's not some Rob Burnett kiss ass either.
No.
Because he doesn't like Survivor.
No.
And I don't know if he saw.
I appreciate it. I don't like it.
Okay, thanks, Drew.
No, but I mean, I appreciate the value of the way he does stuff. I mean,
right.
I really do.
You just don't like it.
But I like The Apprentice.
All right. Tell you, next time your wife puts a dress on, tell her, explain that to her, how you appreciate the dress, you just don't like it.
See how that works. I would say something like that.
Yeah, you would.
Appreciate what into that, but it's not, I'm not into it. Not.
Right, right. So just see how that goes. Audrey is a beautiful firecracker, a zesty chili pepper. And,
yeah, that sounds good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Getting hungry. Audrey was basically up in everyone's grill. And now you tell me, obviously, how much of that is editing or how they create a story via editing. I mean, obviously.
Well, let's recap the story. I didn't miss this one. Because you were sort of you were sort of under the radar for a while.
Well, I just don't think that I was the kind of person at the beginning that I just wanted people to look at me.
Right.
I was more the one that just sat back and was watching everybody and saying, okay, we're going to weed out the stupid ones real fast. Here's this person. Oh, those are going to be the ones first fired and da-da-da-da-da.
So, yeah, you were right.
Oh, I was.
For the most part.
Yeah, it was like 4 and 5.
Yeah.
Audrey was laying low, for the first few episodes. But then this episode, that is last week, took a step forward, was getting into it with everybody. I think she got knocked around a little at the boardroom from the week before and was feeling a little bit sniped at. Maybe there was a little dissension in the group.
And then a week doesn't even pass, right? It's like a day passes and you go right back to work.
It's just that night, the next morning.
Yeah, yeah. So they wake up the next day after having that big experience.
So Audrey got PO'd and announced to the room that she was going to be the leader of the next competition, which was, I think, the putt-putt golf competition.
Yeah.
And there's a little like, she's not going to lead, and she took the step forward. And it was a pretty close competition. I mean, there were maybe $200 between the two of you.
A dollar is a winner, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's it.
No, it's all.
It is a winner.
For $200, that's a big gap.
That's all it takes.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, they had like a scary clown theme. And one of the guys was chewing Copenhagen in the clown outfit. Which
might have scared a couple kids away.
Clowns are scary enough, but one
dipping clown.
Yeah, one is dipping. It's disgusting. And by the way, the guys who carry around the spit cup.
Yeah.
It's like, my thing is like, could you please just urinate on my leg?
Yeah, but
you please, it would be so much better.
What else are they going to do? You know what they do? They spit in a Coke can.
No. He spit in water bottles and would leave them in the van.
Beautiful.
And every time you got in the car, it was just like one water bottle after another. And you're just like, I gotta hold back my throw up.
That's the whole thing. It's one thing when guys used to spit in a styrofoam cup or something. Now they do it in the little Evian thing.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's half of it ain't making it in.
Oh, yeah.
It's cascading down the side. It's like, it's so.
Well, that was what I sat on then.
It's repugnant. I really like, people make a big thing about smokers and secondhand smoke. You're intruding on my whatever.
Yeah.
How about just the gross out factor?
Yeah,
you know what I mean? I mean,
probably just pick it up and drink it thinking it's Coke.
Oh my God.
He's
got like Hep C and botulism and the flesh eating bacteria and mad cow disease. You get it all. The bird flu, you get it all. But here's the thing, and this is bringing us to a bigger point, and then we'll get back to The Apprentice. I've been complaining about this on Fear Factor. I switched on to it last night. They were running through some some rancid quagmire, and then they got to a bucket of decomposing horse heads, and the guy was sort of eating this decomposing flesh, his face, and I had to like hold my hand up and run for the remote to try to avert my gaze because I was getting like a gag thing was coming up, and I thought to myself, we make such a big deal in this society about like somebody's cigar smoke blowing over. You know, even if someone's smoking outside at a restaurant, yeah, it'll be like, sir, yeah, your smoke is coming out. How about just seeing some guy with the nipple piercings and a shirt off?
That's
the guy
enough
spitting
for me, right there.
Thing.
Oh, like, that's it.
I mean, seriously, you're a right-thinking, sane person. Would you rather smell a guy smoking a pipe at the next table?
Visual pollution.
Or see the Joe Rogan yelling at a guy who's got his face in a bucket full of maggots and otter semen,
yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
What is that?
I
how
know.
Come? And how come, you know, you say tits and, you got trouble with the FCC.
Yeah.
But go ahead and put your face in the decomposing horse head bucket and
then eat
suck
the
bile out of that. Yeah. You spit that bile in your partner's mouth and he can bring that up and your friend can do a line of it with a crazy straw. This is okay? Well, here's what it is. It's about sensibilities. You know, I mean, either you're offended or you're not. Tits doesn't offend most people. Oh, quiet down. I don't care. Seeing opening flesh and stuffing your head into rotting flesh, that does affect most people's sensibilities.
So anyway, you lost that. And you got
where was that?
Court,
yeah, I was talking about Audrey.
In the boardroom, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay.
And
but
you broke down, you said.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Why?
Yeah.
Well, because it's just this emotional buildup, and then all of a sudden you're
fired.
It's overwhelming, and then it's over.
The whole thing was about how hot Audrey is. Really, the whole episode. It really was. I gotta be honest. Which was, I always thought Audrey was really hot, but she was kind of flying under the radar. No one was saying anything about it. And finally, episode whatever, everyone just came out and started talking about how hot she was. Audrey was talking about how hot she was and saying something that guys never say, which is it's a liability. You didn't like being so good-looking when you were in, like, junior high and high school, right?
Well, it wasn't that way. It was more...
said she wanted to scar her face.
Well, it's something like
that's
that.
That's what you said.
Again, artistic license.
All right.
Hyperbole.
Came out of her mouth.
Yeah, I know.
I just think that at some point these guys were just, it was just overwhelming. You
they
know?
Weren't
just,
taking you seriously?
Well, it wasn't just that, but, you know, I have a very good job. I make good money.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm not really used to being treated this way and undermined and demeaning. You know, mm-hmm. these guys were really belittling towards me. And it just got to the point that says, look, it's not just a pretty face here. I got a brain too. Did you forget about that? And I was pretty smart and I, you know, stick up for what I believe in. And,
yeah,
you know, I didn't really let my team fail. I said the things I needed to say. People heard the things I had to say. But them hearing it and doing something about it was completely out of my control.
Well, so. Audrey's also part of the street smarts squad group, as opposed to the book smarts guy. I don't think the book smarts group would have got into the physical stuff because they've been coached. I mean,
right,
they know better. They're more
worried.
PC.
Yeah, yeah.
Sure, they go to the shower and squeeze
same
one
conversation.
Off. No, not just alone with God.
Yeah.
But they don't say anything when they're sitting on the sofa.
Right.
The street smart guys are like, "Listen, sweetie pea, I'll do the thinking. Look, you little pretty girl over there. You know, go freshen up my drink. You know, that's how those guys are."
How about that African American woman who was clearly had a psychiatric problem?
And had to leave,
and they pushed her out.
Verna. Well, you guys didn't see that. You know, the team, on the other hand, it was very, you know, you see Kendra, Stephanie, Aaron, and they were very, you know, younger, good-looking young girls that were on the show, or young women that were on the show, and she's a mom, she just had a kid, and she just can't really relate with the other people on her team.
No.
There was nobody there that she could really...
She went into
a
fugue state. She went into a fugue
state wandering
the streets.
Well, that's what you guys didn't see, though, is that she started feeling very alienated and left out.
That's paranoia. That's paranoia. And that she got acutely paranoid, and then she went into a fugue state. That is a psychiatric syndrome that she manifested.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
You got all that out of that.
Oh, yeah.
That's how that happens. That's what that is. Mm. That's just what that is. That's not, maybe it is or isn't. That's what it is. And so the question is, did they take care of her? Did they get her proper care? I mean,
yeah, I don't think she had any mental issues at all. I think she was a sweetheart, and she did a great job, and she was
that has nothing to do with whether or not has nothing to do with whether she had a psychiatric issue.
She's
she
nice.
Had a psychiatric syndrome.
Well, I think that
she's nice.
You understand that the pressure is seriously there,
and she
and
had
our
it.
Task. This task we're talking about was the
motel
task.
Yeah.
The second
crazy.
Task that we had.
Yeah.
Our project manager threw 14 toilets away.
Yeah,
you could imagine how much time that just set us back in construction. Mm-hmm. And then, let alone, he's not even telling the contractors to give us the cheapest deal. He's basically saying, do what you think needs to be done to these rooms. And we've got 20,000.
Come on, buddy.
So
that makes me want around.
Drew, hold on. If you were on a job and someone threw away some perfectly good commodities,
I'd start wandering around confused.
You'd still be wandering.
I'd still be wandering. Yes.
And as opposed to me, who would be rambling. You see, Drew wanders, and I ramble.
You would be rambling.
Yeah.
You would be Kristen.
That's a turn on, right, Audrey? When you,
I just want to get people proper care when they manifest problems, when they're really something serious.
I would hope that they would have given Brian proper care. He threw away 14 good toilets.
That's bad judgment. That's not a sex
problem. Come on, buddy.
It's a psychiatric problem when you throw away 14 good toilets and your ass never know the difference.
I'm just saying, I work in a psychiatric hospital.
True.
Those were psychiatric symptoms she had.
Please, true.
They were.
Really? Well, stop
they
pressuring
were.
The guests.
I'm just telling you. And it disturbs me when people, they put them in these situations, and then they, like, with the refeeding thing with survivor victims, people. But, somebody's going to die.
Die. But look,
no, that's what's going to happen.
Audrey's having a good time.
No, yeah.
Look, here's...
No, they do... Audrey doesn't understand what I'm talking about.
All right, so. here's what I'm saying.
The refeeding, the phosphorus problem, people get the refeeding, they get kidney failure, they get leg edema, they manifest all the stuff. They swell up for the first 2 weeks after they eat, and people often go into cardiac arrest.
I lost six pounds the second day.
Yeah. She wasn't even on Survivor.
True. That much pressure. You're not sleeping. You're barely really eating, if not...
Yeah, but you're on the
run. You just don't have time.
Your body's stressed out. Let me say it's true.
Yeah,
relax over here for a second. Here's the problem. There's all this potential stuff, but nothing ever seems to happen. Eventually it will.
But
let me ask you this, Drew.
Yeah.
If you took this group times, 10 seasons of Survivor times X amount of seasons of Apprentice,
right,
and you just took this group of 30-something, average age 36 or whatever, 41, whatever, and you took, ends up being 800 people and you put them together, eventually something would have happened to one of them anyway. Yeah, look
no,
at it that
no,
way.
No, it's actually...
Yeah, but...
It's not that.
Yeah.
Not.
Someone would have got hit by a car.
Well, okay.
That's all I'm saying.
Maybe that.
A drunk driving, whatever. All right, the point is we can't live in the past. Everyone lands on their feet. Audrey wasn't excited about being beautiful in high school, but now she thanks her lucky stars for what she looks like. It's not hurting you. And you're in real estate. It's always good. Yeah.
That's fine.
Guys want to buy a condo from you, right? Yeah.
I sell more than condos.
Yeah, I know. But I would buy a condo even if I wasn't looking. Yeah. You'd be like, I'd be walking down the street, be like, I sell real estate.
Can I buy?
I just bought a house. How about a condo? You got a condo? It's like when I'm leaving the store and that black kid wants to sell me a candle. I don't really want the candle, but I just take it,
Right, sure.
He's going to put him, go to a better junior high. That's all. All right. You know what a power move is? I do. I buy the candle, don't even take it. I just give the kid the $5 and keep walking.
Sure.
That's
yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Makes me feel powerful. All right. You ready?
Yeah.
Sicily?
Yep.
You're 19?
Yep.
What's up?
Well, I have an incredibly high tolerance, and my question is, what is the effect, if I drink a lot, say drink until I get drunk, is the effect the same on my body as somebody with a lower tolerance that drinks until they get drunk, or...
Yes and no. One of the things that research has shown is that the people that can drink somebody under the table, people that are intolerant, tolerant to the intoxicating effects of alcohol, have the gene for alcoholism. That's a marker for alcoholism. Mm-hmm. And so while you may not manifest intoxication the same way, you have the potential for this disease. You have the genetic marker for it.
I definitely know that both of my sides of the family have alcoholism.
Well, that's just what this
is. Now, so what about the physical? I'm not exactly sure what her question is.
She's saying because she doesn't
not getting buzzed, then
right,
what's the eight beers doing to her?
Therefore, is it hurting my liver the same way it would if I were getting buzzed?
Or your brain.
And the brain issue, it's actually probably a little worse for your brain because the coming off the alcohol is one of the areas we think that people get some of the brain damage.
Oh, really? So yeah. I got to keep going.
You got to keep going, exactly.
That's why I say Bloody Mary every weekday. Yeah, right. I don't stop.
Medicine at night. You're all set.
At night, my medicine, and in the afternoon, it's just a smart cocktail with the boys down at Cuffs.
Smart drink.
But here's the thing. If you drink, it's not the process of being altered. Like, my mom drinks a thimble of yes. champagne, she's bouncing off the
and
ceiling.
Those people tend to be protected against some of the effects of alcohol.
Well, she takes,
they stop. Yeah,
well,
they
she drinks two thimbles yeah. and she vomits and passes out.
So it is not the intoxicating effects. That intoxicating stuff is a function of the GABA system, the GABA A system for the most part.
Right. So that's not good. It's just you're physically not taking in enough, even if you're that light of weight that
Correct.
It can, you'll pass
to
out.
Harm
just
yourself.
Not
right.
doing it.
Though there are other things that can predispose to liver disease
like,
and these sorts of things.
Like other things you bring into your body. I mean, there's some people that can breathe carbon monoxide and feel fine. Others who pass out, but it's still doing the same thing to your body.
Right.
That's like anything right. you take in.
Okay.
For
so
the, it's a little more complicated than that, but yes.
Come on,
basically.
Buddy.
I mean, there's different ways that the body metabolizes things and distributes things. But mm-hmm. in this case, particularly being a female, mm-hmm. the effects are going to be profound, Cicely.
Audrey, okay. I bet you get crazy when you get drunk. Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah. Oh, man. It'd be good for the first, like, 3 hours, and then you'd wish you was sober. That's my case. You have to get out of there. Yeah, first, like, here's what I'm thinking with Audrey. We start booze at about 9 p.m.
This is from Utah, strangely enough.
Oh, really? We'll all get together for a drink. Start booze at about 9. You're looking pretty good about 10:45 or 11. It's a party about 12, but as you start getting about 1 o'clock, now it's time to pack it in.
What's when the belligerent sets
yeah,
in?
Yeah, and she's getting angry now. She's coming after you. It's tough. Then it gets fun again about 4 a.m.
So then you're done.
Well, she's passed out. You know, just doing your thing. All right, where are we? Yeah?
4. Line
Cicely,
4.
She cool?
We're done, yeah.
Line 4. Stacy?
Yes, hi.
What's up?
Hi.
Hi.
Am I on the air?
Yes, yes.
Oh, great. Okay, well, my boyfriend has this awful rash on his mm-hmm. penis, and... Mm-hmm. He doesn't really want to have to go to the doctor, but I know it's probably something that he needs to do. And so I wanted to know if I described something about it that maybe you could help me try to figure out what it is.
90% probability the answer is no.
Really?
But we'll try. Ever been able to interpret a rash.
You don't know what it is, but you can certainly
Adam,
check.
It's quiet. Never happened.
You can check his history.
Describe the rash.
No, describe the rash in detail. How does it feel?
Well, it looks like a buffalo nickel.
Is it a cauliflower?
You want to know what he was doing, though. Was he...
Yeah.
How many partners has he has? How long he been with you? That kind of thing.
Exactly.
Would that help?
Pretty much. And
no.
also the
Shh.
Fact that
no.
I don't, you know, I don't want to go near it.
Because we don't know what he's been doing besides her.
Well,
so what does it look like?
Well,
go ahead. Give her a chance. There you go.
In little patches or something, and it's raised above the skin, and it goes all the way down, I don't know, close to his... I can't say the word on the air, I guess.
Well, what direction are we heading? Toward Mecca or Saka?
Saka, I guess.
These are.
I pray every morning at sunlight. I take my ceremonial towel. I put it down. I face it towards Saka.
It's Saka towards Mecca.
Yeah, bells ring.
Stacy, is it a patch?
It's in patches in different areas.
On the penis.
Mm.
Yes.
On the shaft of the penis.
Yes.
And is it colored?
Yes, it's red.
Is it ulcerated?
It's raised above the skin, yeah.
But is it blistery?
Well, I'm not that I could tell.
Does it look like a wart, like cauliflower?
Yeah,
right.
Possibly.
Hold on. Warts don't look like a rash, do they? Don't they
no,
just
but
look like warts?
But when I asked her to look like cauliflower,
well,
she's like, well, yeah, kind of.
No,
like, okay.
She said it's red, it's patchy. That's I know, Drew. Listen, Stacy. Let me explain something about Drew. Once he's decided this isn't going to work, forget it. It's a stupid waste of time because
do you want me to go through the possibilities?
No,
here are the possibilities. Here are the possibilities.
You're a doctor on the radio. What do you want to do?
That's my point. There's certain things I can do. Certain things I can't.
Tell her she called in. Why'd you pick the call?
Oh, you want to know? I'm glad y'all picked the call. How old are y'all? Can I ask that?
All right, now I'm getting angry.
Oh.
What do you want?
I want to know why you don't let people over 25 and talk to you on the phone right now.
Well,
she made it up.
Oh, she made it up.
Yeah.
All right.
So there you go.
Well, there you go. You picked the call.
No, there were no other calls.
There were no other calls?
Yes.
Adam, when are you doing
you
new
do
episodes
one?
Of
go
Drawing
ahead,
Together?
Go ahead, do that one.
Well, that's a call.
That
now,
was
listen,
the other...
Drew, don't go pout somewhere, would you?
Adam. we have somebody working on the lines tonight that I get little notes up here when I'm not to take the calls. These were no good. Do you want to take that one? That's the one we got now. So go ahead.
Well, that one's been on there for 20 minutes.
That's the one we got. Take it. That's what we got.
We said we had no calls.
That, those were our choices. You're a question about Drawn Together and a question about a rash.
Right now.
All right. But look, I know how you feel about answering rash questions over the phone. On the other hand, if someone says it's red and it's patchy, that's not warts.
The list then now goes to about 30 things at that point.
Well, yes, but you, using your expertise and doing a little probing about this guy's history, could probably whittle that number down just a little bit.
Honestly, it would not. Okay, it could be. We're talking about psoriasis now, eczema, and allergic dermatitis. I mean, and fungus.
Right, but you can still whittle those down. He would have that. If he had psoriasis, he would have other breakouts, other places, other instances. Wouldn't be his first one. No. You know I'm right. I'm always right, Drew. That's the thing you better start getting used to. Abby?
Hi, Adam.
What's happening?
Not too much. I love you, by the way.
Thanks.
I just wanted to know when Drawn Together is coming back in the air.
I have no idea.
You don't?
No. I don't keep track of these things. But go on the website. Go on the Comedy Central website. I bet they'll tell you.
Okay. Can I ask one really, really quick question also?
All right.
My boyfriend and I are both bipolar. Would that cause any problems in the relationship at all, do you think? Because we've been together for 9 months now and everything's been fine.
Make it pretty volatile.
Hmm?
You can make it volatile. You're both taking your medication?
I haven't been on my meds for a year, but I've been stable.
Yeah. But your perception of stable and actual stability may be different.
True.
What's happening in the relationship?
Just normal stuff. We don't fight, really. But when we both get manic-y, I'm afraid we'll get into trouble.
Have you been manic-y?
Not on meds.
Yeah. Yes, you will get into trouble. Absolutely. And
but
you may not... And one of the problems with bipolar very often is people lose insight. So you don't know when you're getting manic-y. You don't realize it.
Mm.
And
that's so, interesting.
You could easily end up in big trouble.
But he's 10 and a half years older than me, so basically we have the maturity level...
But you don't have control over.
You don't.
What
that,
it is.
That has nothing to do with this, Abby. Nothing to do with.
Someone's
this.
10 years older than you. You got to work the half in.
What?
10 and a half. How about at 19? Like, yeah. I understand when you're 7, you do that then. How old are you, Billy? 6 and a half.
It stops at about 6 and a half.
About
half
6 and a half. It's when we go to whole full numbers, especially when you're talking about a guy who's 29. And here's the other thing. Why jack it up? Like, why not just go, look, I'm 19, he's 29. People are already kind of, you know what I mean? Why add the other 6 months onto it? bipolar?
Take her medicine.
Yeah. All right. Well, he's trying to say he's mature.
Yes.
Because he's 30, right? Or 29 and a half.
Right.
29.
What's that?
He just turned 29.
I'm going to try to do some math here. You're 19.
Uh-huh.
He just turned 29, he's 10 and a half years older than you?
Obviously, I have the intelligence of a six-year-old then, huh, Adam?
Well, I'm not trying to put words in your mouth, but how is it mathematically possible for him to just turn 29, you'd already be 19, and him to be 10 and a half years older than you?
How long has he been off of his meds?
He's never taken meds.
Okay. Has he ever gone help?
He went to therapy for a little while. I was in a residential for 8 months before I turned 18.
Come on.
Whoa. What's up?
That's a year of treatment.
I thought you were supposed to get a dog or a plant and then a dog and then before you have a
hamster. Boyfriend. So your boyfriend is on some sort of marijuana maintenance?
No, that's me.
You're on the pot maintenance. I knew somebody was doing drugs.
Yeah.
Yeah. That doesn't work.
All right.
Good luck.
I'm still curious about the 19 and him just turning 29, though.
She's 18.
Oh, you're 18. Abby?
What? I'll be 19 in April.
See?
Okay, still doesn't really work out with
the math
just
doesn't
turning.
Work. Still doesn't work there.
He just turned. You'll be 19 next month, and he's 10 and a half years older than you.
Are you 17?
No, I'm not.
All right, baby doll. Well, listen, how about you take care of yourself? Take the meds.
I just don't like them because I don't get manic-y.
Oh, Abby,
you like
so
to
you're,
get manic-y.
So, no, this is trauma stuff.
Uh-oh. What happened to you?
What? What
abused?
Do you mean what happened to me?
Were you abused?
What does that matter?
Well,
all right. Look, what, Drew? See my fist?
Yes. Well, you just hung up on the wrong person. You hung up on somebody else. And Abby, strangely, is still with us.
Now I hung up on two innocent people. You want to try for three before I hang up on you? Now, Abby, get yourself some help, please.
Please.
I know you're angry. I know you're angry. You should be for what happened to you and what your parents did to you. But here's the deal. Let me give everyone just a quick speech, quick pep talk. Audrey, you only have to listen with one ear. You got to get a soapbox.
There we go. Moment.
I saw last week's episode. A little.
I love the meltdown.
People had difficult childhoods, and that's unfortunate. Many of us have. Ranging from just a little neglect to all-out abuse.
Or in your case, just missed a couple football games.
Missed a couple football games. I'm still bitter.
Yeah.
The point is then you get out into society and you just sort of recreate that relationship. You're angry.
Everything.
Women do it especially, unfortunately. Men do it in their own way, but young women do it with relationships. They do it with father figures, and they do it with authority figures oftentimes, as you saw Abby just do it to us.
Right.
Called us for help. We never met her before. She was kind of curt and standoffish and weird and a little short and angry, essentially.
Hostile.
Then what happens is you go out into society, and the abuse continues because now you have a radio show host yelling at you. Unfortunately, hanging up on other people along the way. You have bosses firing you. You have customers yelling at you. You are bringing this anger out in the world. Mm-hmm. You went from getting yelled at or physically or sexually abused by daddy, and now it's the rest of the world's turn. Mm-hmm. Why do that to yourself? Haven't you suffered long enough? How about you get a little help, straighten a few things out, you work a few things out, and you go out there and you start thriving instead of just surviving and recreating this horrible abuse pattern over and over again.
Yes.
All right. You can open the second ear now, Audrey. Audrey's here from The Apprentice, one of my favorite shows.
Yeah.
Drew's favorite show as well. Thursday nights, NBC, 9 o'clock. Audrey's the beautiful princess that was unfortunately, unceremoniously tossed off just last week. And I hated to see you go. I really did.
Really?
You know what I'm going to do?
What?
I'll tell you what.
I'm write Trump?
Well, no, I could do that.
Write Trump letter.
I'll make a phone letter. I'll make a phone call. I'll make a phone call. No, I'm going to take your headshot if I can.
Okay.
And I'm just going to tape it to the corner of my big screen TV so that you will be in every episode.
I will be the episode.
And not only will you be in every episode, later on tonight you'll be in episodes of Mannix, This Old House, Robot
scared,
Wars.
It's frightened what episodes everything. You might include her in, though.
Oh, wait till I slip over to the Spice Channel. That's going to be awesome. You'll just be there. I have to turn you over. You don't want to see what I'm doing.
She, one of her co-contestants, dated somebody you knew, apparently.
Ooh.
Oh, really?
Yeah, we'll find out about that after the break.
All right.
Sorry.
We'll be back after this. Hey, everybody. It's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Chris Pontius and Steve O are in here tomorrow night.
Ugh.
Oh, Christ.
Ugh. I ran to Ricky Schroeder when I was on CNN.
Andrew, is it that when you rub your balls while you're jerking off that it feels so much better?
Yeah.
That's Steve O.
Just
that's
a sample of the witty banter.
And the erudite and highbrow.
Oh, they'll be wearing top hats and ascots and saying indubitably. Yeah, it's just always, those guys. I mean, they're funny. But it's just
talk about manic. You're spent after spending 20 minutes with them.
It's like chasing a greased pig around the studio for 2 hours. Yeah. You just want to collapse and give up. Yeah. That's all.
Yeah,
something.
We're doing with Audrey.
Yeah,
I don't like that.
She's all over the place. Nah, she's more like just like a chicken who's angry.
Oh,
angry chicken. Audrey, beautiful, beautiful angry chicken. Audrey, fell in love with when I was watching The Apprentice. I was,
and it's now a image of all your other favorite programming.
Yeah, I hated to see Audrey go, and I hated to see the guitar playing hippie guy go.
Danny.
Danny was cool. Played the guitar.
Went pretty early though, didn't he?
He went pretty early, and it always bites when someone you kind of dig goes early. And it's interesting with those.
Tried so hard to make Mr. Trump happy and like him, and
yeah, no such luck. Well,
do his hair back in a ponytail and stuff, and be all nice
clean
and proper
up.
And clean up, and
Yeah, you always say, like, you wonder about guys. I always get suspicious of guys that are in a good mood too often and not complaining about things. Like, if I play the guitar, I'd be like, oh, why aren't the goddamn people turning when they can turn and the light is green? But they just keep sitting there like a-holes. Makes me want to take the guitar and smash your windshield in. Like, that would be my song. I realize all my songs just start getting angry and would be complaining about stuff.
Yeah.
Why did TiVo move the on button on the remote down in the middle with the other buttons where I can't find it at night instead of up at top where it used to be? La, la, la. Like, that would be my song. And then they start off about daffodils and puppies and stuff, but eventually I would just start complaining. Not Dan. Dan was happy. Dan was strumming and having a good time. And then once in a while you think, oh, I wonder if a guy like that could make it in a corporate setting, a corporate environment. Right. And it's like, no. But I was pulling for Dan. I liked him. And, of course, on the Street Smarts team, I liked Audrey because not only was she, you know, easy on the eyes, but a firecracker. Zesty.
Festive.
Yeah, it's good. And you know what? You know, once you establish yourself as that kind of person, then it's fine.
Well, and, you know, we're all about type A personality. It's all of us. You put a bunch of control freaks in the house, and you're going to wonder what's going to happen. First one to lash out, you know?
So. Do you feel like there was some elements of overcompensation because you're young, because you're a woman, because you're pretty?
Absolutely. You always have to be doing, you know, twice as much work, pulling twice as much weight, and working twice as hard, you know, because people aren't going to take you serious at such a young age. So you got to keep that in the back of your
head. How old are
you now? I'm 22 still.
22.
But yeah. What about, and, you know, take this in the spirit in which it's intended, but what
Absolutely.
About the element of having perhaps a chip on your shoulder thinking people aren't taking you seriously because you're a woman or because, and overcompensating for it? Do you know what I'm talking about?
Like anticipating it.
Yeah. Oh, here's, I'll make this example. Happens with our brothers in the African-American community. Every once in a while, black brother doesn't get a job, but it's not necessarily because of racism. Most of the time, it's like, well, 10 guys applied for the job and one guy gets it. But you'll walk away thinking, oh, it's racism. You know what I mean? With you, it's like, oh, I'm beautiful, I'm a woman, I'm young, these guys are coming down on me. But they're just coming down on everybody sometimes. Yeah?
No.
No?
No, because any other woman on the show would have said anything to the guys. And, you know, obviously the first two women that were fired from the show, they were both fired because they had confided men and listened to the guys on the team. And both of them, as a result, were both fired because they decided to take it into their own hands and do it all themselves. And the men turned on them. So,
yeah,
you got to watch your back. They're not about to be your friends.
What was your biggest mistake, you think? What do you think was the reason that got you off the show?
But the women are going to be your friends?
That's
they turn on you later.
The women are going to be your friends.
The women are going to be your friends. And that's what was the biggest mistake I made was in the beginning of this last task was, you know, I should have just taken my hat out of the ring when I knew that my team didn't respect me, when John didn't want me to be project manager.
But how would you do that midstream that way?
Well, I mean, yeah, that's mid-task. The thing. But
how could you do that?
Well, no, I'm saying at the very beginning when I was, you know,
you
trying to throw
people
my...
People were
right,
arguing with you.
Right.
Yes.
And then that was where I should have just said, okay, they're not going to respect me. They're not going to, you know, do as I asked them to do. And even if I gave them responsibility, I can't make them do it.
No.
We failed because they didn't decide and choose to help out.
I should have done that with Drew and the skin rash question 10 minutes ago.
Backed off.
It is... Well, no, it's a very interesting point and a good life strategy, which is, and I've run into this crappy situation myself many times in creative endeavors, which is you say to somebody, oh, yeah, no, this is going to work. And they say, oh, no, it's not. And you say, oh, yeah, it's going to work. That's fine if you're doing it alone, but if you need their help, make sure it's not going to work.
Right.
That's the best. What happens is you just go, oh no, we're doing it. Come on, here we go. And then all they do is sabotage everything. They drag their feet. They f up. They screw up. And then at the end, they go, I told you.
I told.
And so the lesson is, look, if you're doing something completely solo, make your proclamation and go do it.
Yeah.
But if you need the other three guys who are supposed to be helping you and all three of them are saying it's not going to work or we don't want you to do it, stop right there because they will see to it that it doesn't work.
See, Dr.
That's
Trevor
how they
is
are.
A smart man.
Hmm? Oh, yeah.
But the next time he decides to diagnose a skin rash over the radio, he'll think twice.
That's right. What's true is not going along. All right. Yeah, no, I'm more than just, you know, a nasally drone and a beautiful face.
OK. cash register.
I got the cash register, you know, right here. Bring some money. Artist just laughed all day. Yeah.
That was awesome. Pretty,
awesome laugh.
Pretty yeah. robust laugh.
Yeah. Yeah, robust. Hearty. Yeah, that was a good yeah. Yeah.
Here we go.
Funny now.
Calls.
Hey, what about who was on the show we're talking about that knew a friend of mine or dated a friend of mine?
Oh, Angie McKnight.
Yeah, Angie McKnight. Yeah, sounds familiar.
But you know what she said that was interesting? She said, I know.
Adam
Carolla. I know him. I dated his buddy, Todd. He loved to talk about porn all the time.
She must be talking about somebody else.
Yeah.
Because she didn't say porn and masturbation. She just said porn.
Yeah.
That's not you.
I think it's implied. Well,
she's a friend.
Well, how does my name...
you're on a love show now.
How does my name come up?
Well, I just told her.
You're doing this show tonight.
Uh-huh.
Oh, yeah. I gotta figure. I'm gonna thumb through the Rolodex of my mind and figure out just exactly when the last time I saw her was. But I didn't do anything embarrassing around her. That's the important part.
I don't know. I won't tell you.
No, good. It's perfect. I don't want to know. Nikki.
Yeah.
You're 16.
Yes.
Oh yeah. I got it.
Oh,
now.
You remember?
Yeah, I know her well. All right.
Where?
I'm good.
Was it high school with you?
Different Todd.
Yeah. Was it high school?
Yeah. No. Knew her as an adult. Had a friend. Guy's in Utah now.
He's alive. Todd?
Yeah, a little bout with drugs, but he made it through.
A Todd that lived to 40? It wasn't the first.
Well, that's the whole thing. I've always told guys named Todd, you're not going to make it past 40 because there's no... there's no old grandpa named Todd. It's not, we got to go see Papa Todd. There's nobody in their 80s named Todd. There's no old man Todd.
He just did the math.
Who's, the wise elder of the village. We'll see Todd. He'll have an answer. What? He has a gray-haired beard, bearded gentleman. He wears a frock. No, that's Todd.
No.
Todd is the snot-nosed 14-year-old who lives across the street from you that's doing weird things to your cat.
Yeah.
Todd's not an old guy. It's going to be weird if this group of Todds makes it to the 70s and 80s.
What's that going to mean?
Todd,
like Gertrude.
Grandpa Todd, tell me what it was like back in the olden days. Grandpa Todd. Yeah, so I worry, like I said, if I had a kid named him Todd, I would change it to an old name at 39. Mm. I would do that for him. I would change his name to Petridge Farms Guy or some Lucius or something.
Bernard.
You know? Yeah, Bernard. Yeah, some old guy name. So it means he'll go on.
Good.
There's names for 60s, 70s, and then there's 200. You make it to 200.
Oh, good.
You get the right name. Oh, hell yeah. Hell yeah. Beelzebub, yeah. Nikki?
Yeah.
Yeah, Ebenezer.
Yeah.
That's a good one. There's no 14-year-old named Ebenezer, and there's no 90-year-old named Todd.
Just go right to Rumpelstiltskin.
Do your math. Do the math.
Nikki, what's going on?
Hello?
All right, we got to take a break now.
We do.
Well, just, you did too much talking, Drew. What can I say? How many calls it would take? Audrey was rambling on that segment. She's going to reel it in a little for the next one.
Right.
And we're going to come back. Audrey's here from The Apprentice, by the way. We'll be here. We'll come back. We'll speak to Nikki. We'll finally get to our question after this. Hey, everybody, it's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. The Wild Boys, Chris Pontius and Steve are coming in tomorrow night.
Hey, Drew, why is it that when you rub your balls while you're jerking off that it feels so much better?
I haven't noticed that.
It's so brutal because Drew's the man, so they got to come in there and rub their stink on the man.
Right.
You know, like I get the feeling if you're just sitting here with a paperclip going through your nostril and some pants, you'd be like, leave the guy alone.
Yeah.
But because you're the man, you're all buttoned down and uptight and everything.
They gotta
come in here and screw with you.
Get a rise out of you.
Yeah, and I get hit with the residual urine. Audrey here tonight from The Apprentice. That's her punching the mic. Thursday nights, 9:00, NBC. It broke my heart to find out that she was let off the show last week. One of my favorites.
I would say my favorite. Fight, don't you think?
One of the best episodes they've had thus far. And
thank you.
Audrey befriended Angie, and Angie befriended Audrey. And it turns out I know Angie. I forgot. That's how stupid I am. I watched a show. I've watched six episodes. I've watched someone who I knew fairly well and probably saw for the last time just, you know, a few years back.
Wow.
I had no idea who I was looking
at. Oh, my God.
And she won the Nestle test. She was the project manager on that where we got the helicopter ride.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, through Manhattan at night. It was beautiful.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. That's awesome.
Very cool.
I mean, think about that experience.
So surreal. It's like right there. Statue of Liberty. Mm. Everything from the air. It's wild.
The thing that's sort of weird about helicopters is... doesn't seem to be many rules for them. Like, helicopters just fly over my house all the time. Like, nobody's saying, hey, you got to stay this high, or why don't you stay away from the Capitol, or do, you know, just say, hey, we got a helicopter.
It's like a car.
Well, Mr. Trump, like, lands everywhere.
Yeah, he does. And here's how you know you've arrived. When your helicopter has a retractable landing gear. Ooh. You know what I mean?
I've never seen that. Big enough.
Oh, yeah.
The big ones, the big, huge.
No, I'm not talking about the troop transports. I'm just talking about the executive ones where the gear comes up.
Wow.
Yeah, although it's not good for me because I like to hang off the skid, you know what I mean? like Jeff Probst,
right,
you know what I mean?
Right.
Just hanging right off the skid with my choker.
Let's see if we can take a call this segment, right?
Okay.
Okay.
Leather choker.
Nice.
Hanging off the skid.
You and Jeff.
Yeah, yelling, bring it down. No, here. Like the pilot doesn't know where he's going to land. Nikki?
Yeah?
You're 16?
Yes.
What's up?
Okay, well, about 2 years ago, I got into a serious relationship,
mm-hmm.
and that went on for about a year off and on,
mm-hmm.
and ever since then, I've never been able to get into a real relationship. I've tried, and...
How old was the guy?
He was 16, no, I was 14, he was 15.
Okay, mm-hmm. and how was that relationship?
Sexual-wise, we only
no.
got...
Yeah, it's all true once in a while.
No, how was it? Was it an okay relationship? Was it abusive? Was it problematic for you?
Well, I really loved him, and he was a great guy, and then he got involved with the wrong people, and I kind of cheated on him. And
yeah, all right.
Really
and same thing happened with me and Drew, actually.
All right, but listen, that was only, what, a year ago?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe you're still not getting over that.
Oh, hold on, by the way. 14 and 15?
Yeah. And having sex.
He has a couple of felonies. She's banging around with one of his gangbanger friends. It's awesome.
Oh.
You're 14. All right. Nikki.
Yes.
Here's why I know there's trouble. Normally, you know, 16-year-old having a little relationship trouble, fine. You're calling from Bakersfield.
Oh.
That means trouble is on the horizon. Okay? Here's the whole thing. With Bakersfield and Riverside, there's a handful of places across the country. I just happen to know Bakersfield and Riverside. Whatever problems you think someone has, like you got a 15-year-old girl, says she's a little confused. If her problem sounds like a 4, put a 0 behind it because she's in Bakersfield.
Right, right.
It's not the usual sort of teeny bopper. I got a crush on a guy, but he doesn't know I exist.
So it's a gangbang thing.
Yeah, it's crazy stuff. So, Nikki.
Yes.
What's going on with your family? Is everything okay at home?
No. No way.
Not really.
What's happening?
My dad left when I was in fifth grade.
Mm-hmm.
And then he came back 2 years ago, but I didn't even know he was here until last year.
Mm-hmm.
He's living in your house and you did. Oh, came back to the area.
He's like a ninja. Walks around the house on his toes.
Wow.
Sliding behind the refrigerator when she comes in and flicks the light. It's like a cockroach rappelling down into the room and doing a shoulder roll into bed.
It's incredible.
On a futon. Yeah. Yeah, I like that.
So, Nikki, what do you mean? He was in town and you didn't know it? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, he and my stepmom and their two kids came back.
Oh, boy.
All right.
So it's a mess, huh?
Look, Bakersfield, stepmom, two kids coming back to town, didn't know. This is a disaster.
What's your mom like?
She's okay. I fight with her, and she's extremely sarcastic and not exactly verbal abuse, I think it's called.
All right, so, Nikki, here's my plan for you.
Don't get pregnant.
Oh,
please.
Oh, that was good.
Don't get pregnant. Do not get pregnant.
Whatever you do.
Don't get pregnant. Remember, you don't have a bone to pick with the entire planet, just the two a-holes that try to raise you.
Right.
Always remember that.
And you're going to be a lot stronger if you can survive all of that. Just remember that.
Yeah.
You'll come out winning a lot more than...
Use it, but don't turn it on everybody.
Yeah.
Now, here's your job, Nikki. Your job is to get your grades up, go far away to some college, and leave this whole crap bowl behind you.
Yeah.
Instead, everyone just gets pregnant at 17 and dives into it. Like, what I'm saying is you've pitched your tent in the world's crappiest campground. Now, instead of pulling up your stakes, you are now laying a foundation down for some crappy house you're going to build.
Now it's Crap City.
Yeah. What kind of strategy is that? Your parents suck, the neighborhood sucks, your house sucks, school sucks, everything sucks.
And you have no skills, you haven't finished your education.
So what you do is you get pregnant at 16 and a half, get a job on the corner, and then hook up with some guy who never commits, and he starts abusing you, and now you're there full time. Mm-hmm. Well, why do that? Get it together. Get out of there.
Absolutely.
Everybody, leave. I don't care where you are. Go.
and by the way,
Drew, I'm saying get out.
Leave Bakersfield immediately.
No, right now. You might tell you the same thing. Be careful.
Leave the studio is what I'm telling Drew to do. All right. Nikki, that's your job. You understand me?
Yes.
All right. Go off. Go to San Francisco, would you?
No, I'm going to the East Coast.
Where are you going?
Pennsylvania.
For what?
I'm going to get into Penn State.
Penn State. All right, great.
All right.
Go to town.
There you go.
Good job, girl.
You could be a...
Just don't get pregnant in the meantime.
You can be a...
No drugs, no kids.
You can be a Nittany Lion, which I thought was a nifty line for my entire childhood. Nittany, what's that mean? Nifty. Now you got something. Yeah. That's a nifty lion.
Yeah, looks like it.
Nittany. What the hell? All right. Go, baby. Go forth and prosper, but don't get pregnant.
Okay.
Yeah. All right. Thank you. Where the hell are we? Fetish?
Do you want to
escort fetish.
Tease
okay.
that one first.
I'll tease that one. Kylie?
Yeah.
You're 27?
Yep.
You're a fetish escort?
Yeah.
Ooh, you pee in guys' mouths?
Yeah, isn't that odd?
Yes, yeah. But hold on.
My sister did that for a while when she was working her way through high
school. Hold on,
college. She was, hey, you got to make ends meet.
Takes all kinds.
I don't judge.
Takes all kinds, Adam.
We're atheists. We do what we need to do to get paid.
But Kylie, hold on. We got to talk to you, but we got to take a break.
Hang on. All right. Audrey is here. You stay one more break with us?
What happened to Angie?
I don't know what happened to Angie. Angie was going to call from The Apprentice. And all right, well, we'll get to the bottom of it.
Yeah.
All right, we'll take a quick break. We'll be right back with Kylie, the urinating fetish escort, after this. Yeah, buddy, it's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. The beautiful Audrey is here from The Apprentice. 9 o'clock Thursday night.
Hello.
NBC. It just struck me as we were talking to Audrey during the commercial break about striking while the iron is hot, making the most of an opportunity. Playboy must have. They've come calling. Have they not? Yeah. I feel like an idiot for not bringing that up an hour ago. They had to come calling. Any thoughts about that?
Absolutely not.
Not your thing?
No.
Not going to do it?
No.
Not enough money yet.
Smart. Drive that price up. I wonder, and...
Well, I'm the youngest woman ever on the show, so...
They're 22.
There's a lot more things that are going to happen than Playboy, you know? There's a lot of other stuff like CoverGirl and things like that that are going to come about, and they're going to say, our target market's a younger group, and by doing those kinds of things, you're going to...
Well, let me talk about that. We have Angie from The Apprentice on the line,
Angie.
Too. But let me just say this. First off, opportunities, amazing exposure. Mm. Number two, I imagine there'd be endorsement idea, modeling, makeup, all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
But then to me, something like Playboy.
Yeah.
Is there a fundamental opposition to that? Or if they came up with enough money, hey, I'd do it.
No. I just got a lot more on the line than just, there's not really a price tag that can say what can to bring me back to.
$5 million.
No.
No?
No.
But that was a no, really, $5 million?
No, not even for $5
million. Really?
No.
Why not?
It's not about the money.
Why
Adam hates it when people say that.
Of course it's about the money. Well, because it's not about the money. I got a lot of other opportunities, financial opportunities. That's about the money.
If I could make $5 million on another deal that's going to extend me 5 more years and make another $5 million in 5 years, then that would say definitely.
All right.
Playboy might not be that issue.
They don't. They're not putting out careers anymore. You know what I mean? I mean, people do Playboy and keep going.
Yeah.
All right, so it's not in your
plan.
Construct. Plan. Yeah, emotionally, just not going to do
it. I just think that I'm young, and so it might be just Playboy say, you'd expect her on in Playboy or that kind of thing.
All right, so you're not going to do it.
No.
How much have they offered then?
I'm
Is it good?
Not going there.
Why not?
It's just...
But here's the thing about money. I know, and I end up getting angry and getting arguments. But here's the thing. Yeah. First off, I tell everyone what I make. But secondly, if somebody comes to you with an offer and says, you want to do something, and you say, no, not going to do it, you can tell us how much they offered. You're not going to do it. Right? I mean, is there... I understand what the fundamental problem is with that. If you're choosing not to do it, you can tell us what they offered. No? Why not?
It's just because it's all part of the package. It's just all part of the principle of it all.
You turned it down.
Well, it doesn't matter if I turned anything down. We still wouldn't talk about it. You know, this is business stuff, and it could make you or break you, those kinds of decisions. And, you know, whether I thought it was enticing or not so enticing, it wouldn't matter. It's just, it's a no-go. The whole idea is a no-go.
So. All right, good. Now tell us what they offer. It's a no go. No, I mean it's like, you know, it's like in sports. So they offer, you know, the Yankees want this guy to come over from the Indians. It's like, they only offered him $4 million over 3 years. He's not going.
Let's talk to Angie. Maybe she got an offer.
Nothing.
Maybe Angie got an offer.
Right, let me just ask you though.
Yes.
You just tell me over or under.
I'm not going to
say $400,000.
I'm not going to say anything.
Really?
Nope.
True.
Talk to Angie. Maybe she's got a point of view on it.
No, Angie doesn't have any answers.
How dare you? Now she's going to be mad at you for suggesting she was not offered a Playboy.
I'm not. I'm talking about Audrey. Angie's still on the show. Although she's off the show now.
Well, everybody's off. That's the point.
Right. All right. 4 or 5. Come on. Just give me over or under.
No.
Why?
$1.
Can't
over $1.
What is over that? $1. What is that? Did I come from another planet? Like, why am I insane with this stuff? Or do they make you promise not?
Do they make you promise?
If they make you promise,
they don't make
me tell
promise
us
anything. You know, it's just something that morally what? And business.
Must be like kissing and telling.
Oh no, it's not.
There was
like
no
that
kissing.
I know.
That's the point. She didn't even have her tongue out. They just made an offer, and she didn't want to do it. I did, and I'm just curious how this stuff
maybe
works.
Maybe they make the people feel fearful there's going to be retribution if they talk about it at all.
They must tell you not to talk about how much it is.
You know, it's honestly, NBC and Mark Burnett Productions have both agreed that those are not options that any of the women on The Apprentice are even allowed to do.
Oh,
so,
that's interesting.
Well, why
Jerry
you
did
say
it
so?
Jerry did it back
from
in
Survivor?
The day.
Yeah, but this Apprentice.
This is NBC, and I don't know. I don't know.
Oh, interesting.
All right, so they have a policy.
No,
which
it's
is,
not a policy. It's just that our contract states that we're secure talent through them until our contract's up for 1 year, and they're just trying to protect the show and as well as us.
Yeah, interesting.
So in the sense, the show hasn't ended yet, and you know they're trying. It's still a business show, and as long as it's on and the season's on.
Well, you could have said that a half hour ago. You have a contract that says no doing X, Y, and Z.
It doesn't say X, Y, and Z. It just says ask.
It says ask.
Which means don't.
Interesting.
Ask.
We need approval, though, but you need approval. But
so if you even do a mascara commercial, they'll probably say you could do that.
Absolutely. Well, and the thing is that if those any of the opportunities that are available to us, we are, you know, we can take and accept whatever we want. But it's also what NBC decides. You know, they say, okay, is this going to kill the reputation of the show? Is this going to do this? Is this, you know,
so
that
they
kind
get,
of
like, right of refusal.
Right.
Like, interesting. All right. And still, I'm still angry at you, by the way. Angie? Everyone,
Angie, hi.
Hey.
Hi.
And yes, of course I got offered Playboy.
How much?
I can't disclose that, Adam.
There you go. See, we're doing good.
Yeah.
Hi, sweetie.
Hi.
How are you?
How's Trump Tower?
Beautiful. We miss you here.
Oh,
yeah. Angie, you know how far you made it, don't you?
We don't, though.
Adam.
We don't. Yeah. But we go back, Angie. You
can
tell me.
Yes, we do, Adam. How funny is that? How the hell are you?
I'm doing well. And I see you're doing well as well. I'm trying to think when the last time we saw each other was.
I think I ran into you in a restaurant about 8 years ago.
Yeah.
Wasn't it? Didn't we see each other in a restaurant or something years ago?
Angie was the girlfriend of a friend of mine. I don't know if you guys are still going out or anything.
Todd? No. Todd and I are not still dating, Adam.
No. Okay.
Audrey did mention, though, that Adam was still talking about porn and masturbation even back
then. Of course. I love that he's made a career out of it. Brilliant.
Sure.
Brilliant, Adam.
Sure.
Love line, yeah.
Yeah. Thank you very much.
You're so good.
Oh,
Dr. Drew, I adore you.
Thanks, Angie.
Yeah, yeah. You're
great. I'm a huge Apprentice fan.
Well, yay. when you get kicked off, you can come in and see Drew.
Oh, we don't know that that's going to happen, though, do we?
I know.
Well, but I mean, where you win, when you win the whole thing.
Right, when I win.
Yeah,
I thought I won.
I'm just playing the odds. They're still like, what is there, like ten
yeah,
people? How many people are left?
I don't know.
Where are we at? How many were
nine?
Left?
I think there's nine. Audrey, how many are left?
I'm seven, so there's 18.
But right. Verna quit.
Yeah, right. Verna quit.
Right.
So there's 10 left.
All right. So now, Angie, where are you now? Are you in Los Angeles?
No, I'm still in Trump Tower.
Oh, yeah, yeah. No. We got past that part.
We're still in New York doing the show.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I think we're allowed to talk about the part where the show's over. You just can't.
I don't know about that.
Well, that's interesting because, Angie's
still
on the show.
I want to talk about Todd, and I want to talk about you liking porn and masturbating.
Yeah, okay.
That's all he talks about.
Dr.
Angie's
Drew,
just
please.
Making that.
Yeah.
Up.
He has issues.
He has a bunker.
Well, I'll let you go.
So Angie, do you still have a bunker, a porn bunker back when you knew? Maybe you couldn't afford that back
No,
then.
I had an apartment.
Now he's got a bunker. But I think he has retinal scans to get in and stuff. It's great.
A complete addict. Completely addicted to porn.
Yeah.
And he's been in therapy for 14 years and will not discuss it with his therapist.
I'm telling you,
refuses to.
How dare you bring that up?
You hold on to that, Adam. You've done well.
Thank you. That's mine. I'm keeping it. All right there, baby doll. Well, we'll see you soon. Sorry to hear about you and Todd, by the way.
Well, thank you.
And you used to live in, like, Studio City or North Hollywood or something, didn't you?
Baby.
Yeah, all right.
I'm just
going to
be doing a cabaret the end of this month.
Yeah, I'm doing Cinegirl and Feinstein's and all that.
Yeah.
What? You're singing? You're doing stand-up?
Yeah, I've actually got a show at the Cinegirl the 19th of March. Saturday.
All right.
Were you flying out here from Trump Tower for that?
Yeah.
Taking the helicopter?
Yeah. In New York.
All right. Well, Angie, it was great talking to you again.
You too, Adam.
Come on the show.
Yeah.
Thanks.
Come on,
know,
after your win. Come on the show.
Absolutely.
It's all the agenda.
Love you, Audrey.
I love you too, Ange.
Bye, honey.
Good luck. Bye.
I can't believe how stupid I am. I watch that show every week. I didn't even know I knew Angie.
Really?
Well, I hadn't seen her in a few years. I wasn't thinking I knew anyone on TV.
Right, right.
Yeah. One time I saw me on TV, I was confused.
But that's
I attacked the screen.
It's weird
like
for you, though, that you with all the, notice everything.
I know it's weird
but
because...
But you put on the normal person's head for 5 minutes. Normal people screen stuff out.
Yeah, I just don't think of anyone I hung out with back in the day as being on TV.
I'm just saying, you put that bias, that prejudice into your brain and you screened everything else out.
Yeah, what prejudice?
That you wouldn't know anybody you were going to look at on television.
Oh, yeah.
You decided that, and then when somebody came on you knew, you decided you didn't know them.
Yeah, no, I'm thick.
That's stuff that normal people do.
Oh, they
you
do.
Never do that.
No, I never do that. All right, well, let's see.
Not normal.
I'm human.
Hmm?
Kylie?
Yeah.
All right, here we go.
So Kylie's 27. She's a fetish escort.
What does that mean exactly? I mean,
Well, I'm not an escort in the typical hooker sense. What I do is I do fetishes, which is...
How did you start? Generally
non-sexual.
How did you start? Yeah, I'm sure.
I could argue peeing on somebody's... In a way more intimate than giving a BJ with a condom.
But anyway.
Yeah.
How does one go down that path? I mean, how did you get interested in that?
I got into it very slowly, and it was for the money because there aren't a lot of people who do fetishes. And
how did you even know that such a... How did you do them well?
It actually was...
Hold on.
She
did the fetish. I had her about 170, and when she did it well, she went up to 195.
Okay, all right. Got it. Got it.
That's just me. All right, Kylie, go ahead.
Kylie, how much money do you make? One
job.
Oh,
look over here. Look who wants to know. Yeah, curious, aren't you?
Curious.
Yeah, don't tell her, Kylie. Do me a favor. Just don't tell her.
You know, it's because he wanted to ask the question all night, so let me ask the question.
No, Kylie, don't tell her. This is how that feels.
But Kylie, how did you even
I'll
know there was such a...
I'll tell you what we're going to do, Kylie, though. I will talk to you. When Audrey leaves, we'll talk off the air, and you'll tell me how much you make.
I kind of pity you for that kind of guy.
How? Oh, she thinks you're trying to make a deal with her.
No. Here's the thing. I pee on myself. I don't need someone else to do it.
And you pee on everything else, too, strangely enough.
I got sleep for that. Yeah. I just doze off and whiz away.
Kylie, how did you even know there was such a thing as escort fetish?
I'm good, too. I'm damn
fetish escort.
That's funny. I actually, when I was going through college, I was working on the weekends as a dancer at parties, doing like strip teases for birthday parties and bachelor parties for college. And I had a guy ask me if I would spank him for $100. And I was like, are you kidding? And he's like, no, I'm completely serious. And I was like, well, about $100, let's go.
You, Kylie.
Hold on. I think she dropped the
S-bomb.
Yeah. But in a sort of playful way.
Yeah.
Let me say, the FCC should really take it like when
context. Or tone.
Yeah.
Tone.
Yeah.
A playful F or a playful S here or there. It's just a punctuation.
Yeah, if someone screams, I'm going to beat the S out of you, that's bad.
Good. That's bad.
That's bad. But when it's like, you know, just doing a little S in that.
No, she said, S, give me the belt, let's go.
Yeah. Hey, what the S? Yeah.
Get the belt and let's go.
Right. It's a playful S.
But I mean, it's playful, but she's going to whack the crap out of somebody.
She had an interesting, put her on hold so we could repot up whatever our delay is. But another interesting thing she did, which I'm going to do if I ever know anyone who gets into stripping, I'm going to say, add the tease to the end of it.
Strip tease.
Makes it sound like it's some burlesque show.
It's like
doing
it's Gypsy Rose Lee.
Oh, she's doing a fan dance in front of the... And instead of what's really going on, which is the simulated lesbian act with the you know, utensils.
Right.
But it's like, I would do a little strip tease at a bachelor party.
Yeah.
Smart, though. You add the tease on there. All right, Kylie, please, no more swearing on the air.
All right.
Okay. So now, what is your what's a normal day like for you in the fetish escort world?
I only work a couple hours a week doing that. So my normal day is I have two other normal jobs.
All right. Do clients like call you and just say, can you come and spank me?
No, I have a form that they have to fill out. They have to fill out an application.
Really?
And do they get approved or something? Or do you do like a screening? Or do you
And then they have to give me sort of a background history, what they do for a living, where they live, what
they're
looking
for. And how do you check on all that?
Yeah, how do you know that's accurate or is real?
Well, I ask for first and last name. Most of the time you can find people online and verify information, and then I meet with them, you know, for a cocktail or whatever. Ooh. And kind of discuss.
You have a business account set up, right? Where you can, like, pay... You know, whatever you charge.
I pay taxes on all the money I earn. So.
You do? All of it.
Of
why? All right, hold on a
but
second.
But you're deducting, like...
Oh, yeah, everything.
You're deducting.
Whips, chains,
nipple
clamps, the whole thing. You got to deduct it all, Drew.
And the background checks. You're deducting all of that.
The bank robbers pay taxes on what they pay?
Sure, I mean, yeah. Or no? I don't know, Drew.
You know what I mean? It's an illegal activity, isn't it?
No, it's actually not, because I don't have intercourse with my customers. I do fetishes.
Yeah, peeing in their mouth, though, that's cool in the eyes of the
Technically,
law?
Technically, it's according to the law, not considered a sexual act.
That ass is not going to fly in Audrey's Utah, by the way. Believe me, they don't take kindly to that kind of behavior.
It's good at Nevada. But
by the way, I want to do just a little Loveline recreation, which is we let it go. But it's like, tell me what a normal day is like for you in the world, in the fetish escort world.
Yeah.
Well, normally I have two other jobs that I do, so I don't normally do it.
Yeah.
Fascinating.
For filling it out
fascinating.
For us. Yes.
What a colorful, vivid picture you drew.
That's what we were looking for.
Yeah. Oh, that's. I wanted to hear about you temping over at the car rental place. Yeah, that's what I was talking about. Can we get a goddamn answer on this show ever?
No, come on.
Yeah, her answer for me is, what's a day like in the world of the fetish escort? Yeah, nothing. I don't do that normally.
He has phones.
I don't know that. I call into the show and say I do this for a living, but when he asks me what a day is like for you in this world, by the way, you get nothing. I don't do it.
Let's get back to her.
All right. What am I asking? I want her schedule.
You have questions?
Yeah.
I have a good question for her.
All
right. Go ahead.
What's the most sexual turning on thing that you've done so far?
For her or for that?
Yeah, for
job.
You. For you. Have you enjoyed doing what you do? Have you, like...
Do you like any of it?
Do you like the pleasure of doing this?
I would say not in a physical way, no, because it's very emotionally and mentally straining to separate yourself from whatever their dysfunction is. So you have to have a lot of focus when you're there to figure out
what it is
making them want to do this. Because really what I'm there for isn't necessarily the act that they're asking me to perform. It's whatever emotional need that they have that they've distorted into this strange act.
And you have a sense of what that is?
Yeah, I think that some people are just naturally can pick up on things like that.
And so now I'm very interested now. So you have a sense of what the source of the perversion is, and you try to meet that more genuine emotional need? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, right. So that's why I, talk to people, what do you do for a living? And
but give me an example. So a guy says, pee in my mouth. What do you tell me what happens to that guy? What do you think happened to him?
Urinating on someone is a form of degradation.
Yeah.
So usually I find they are white, 30 to 45. They have a high-stress job where they work a lot of hours, usually divorced.
That's true.
Occasionally not married because they're career-driven. Mm-hmm. And most of the time, the fetish comes out of a turning point where they had just so much stress that they weren't able to deal with it. And they usually have jobs where it's like the buck stops there. They're the boss. They're the one that takes all of the responsibility.
All right, hold on. What I always say this guy was.
Yeah, you've always said it's that guy.
He's always a white guy, by the way. Yeah. Black guy, Mexican guy. He's getting his ass kicked all day. Doesn't need to go pay for it to get his ass kicked. He's going to pay. He's going to get some sex, number one. Number two, it's always a white guy. He's always in charge. He's tired of kicking guys around all day. He wants to get kicked around. They want it flipped on them.
How many men do you think are out there that fit that personality, that category?
There's two of them in this room. Two in this room. And I'm not talking about the eighth
Isn't
man.
That scary?
Engineer Chris over here.
I got zero of this stuff. Zero.
Oh, no. No, no.
Zero.
No. Oh, yeah. Getting whizzed on? No.
I got zero any of the extra, the paraphilias. I got zero.
Drew, yeah. Drew's not into
it's
he's
like
not into
very
anything.
Bewildering to me. Yeah.
No, but a passionate man. Do not kid yourself. If you're kidding yourself about his passion, stop. I forbid you from kidding yourself about Drew's passion. Do not confuse his lack of attraction for being urinated on for a man who does not possess passion. Oh, he'll show you passion. Give me a mouthful of passion. I'll tell you that right now. Kylie?
All right, so there's that guy.
I'm not nearly done. That's the only guy.
But how about the guy? Do you do any of the weirder stuff? I'm fascinated by a guy that dresses up like a horse and pulls the carriage around and all that kind of weird stuff. Do you do those kinds of things too?
Kylie? Did she hang
up?
Oh,
come on. Kylie.
Oh.
That was
Kylie.
A good conversation.
I'm gonna get her back. I was intrigued by Kylie.
Remember we had those fetish women up here, and they told us they have a corral where the guys dress up like ponies, and they pull Cinderella's carriage. It's like, oh my god,
I know.
Who is that guy?
I don't know
who that guy is.
I don't know who he is. But
this is something I conceived of.
I'll tell you, but that is as important to him as your passion is.
I understand that.
To you.
That's what makes it even weirder.
And another thing I've learned, we cannot judge.
Can't judge.
It's impossible
to judge.
Doesn't
mean anything. It's a pure random act of free will.
Yeah. Yeah. Sure. No, the thing is these guys are always a mess, but they're really buttoned down guys. They're not like the alcoholic, guys that are, they're not blue collar.
Yeah.
They're never blue collar. Because here's the thing about blue collar guys.
Well, it could have been your guy, Mike Stramat. He might have been one of these guys.
Oh, my old foreman.
Yeah.
Construction foreman. No. Yeah. Guys are blue collar. They're getting their ass kicked all day by their job, by their old lady, by life. You know what I mean? When you're eating off a lunch truck and you're just eating standing up and that kind of thing, you got some guy yelling at you to get back in and get back to work and stuff. When you buy a hooker,
You're
in charge. Mm. That's you just paid that $100. That's so you could be the boss for 10 minutes. Do you know what I'm saying?
And the boss is to be degraded.
Boss, no. The boss is not going
to
be degraded.
If you're the blue collar guy.
The blue collar
guy. Yeah, yeah.
I'm paying $100. I'm in charge.
That's the anal sex guy.
Thank you. Okay. I mean, I don't know.
I mean, yes.
It could be.
Right.
It possible?
Yes, could be.
I don't know.
Theoretically.
Why would I
theoretically.
Know? I don't know.
Are you talking?
I don't know what that is. Here's all right.
Do you believe that?
Let's just keep moving forward. Well, actually, we got to take a break.
Yes.
Audrey,
Kylie,
know,
please guys, call back.
Thank
yeah,
you.
Please.
Are you leaving?
Yes.
I'm leaving. Okay. Audrey, I'm out of here.
She was going to stay for 1 hour, but I stretched it another 20, almost 23 minutes.
It 23 was
minutes.
So much fun.
Yeah, 23
this
minutes.
This is exciting.
You had a good time?
Very, very good, yeah.
Got into Today Show, right?
Oh, absolutely.
All right, so listen, when whatever goes down, you know, when you become the new face for Maybelline, mm-hmm. or you do Playboy, whichever comes first,
I'll be here.
Come back on the show.
I would do her the favor of, if she does go on Playboy, not asking her what they paid.
I'm going to need to
promise
know.
That now.
I'm
know. Promise
but,
it now.
But she don't know what Kylie got paid. So touche. All right, everyone. The Apprentice, 9 o'clock on NBC, Thursday nights. Thank you, Audrey.
Thank you, guys.
We'll be right back after this. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Woo! Hell yeah. Got to get it on.
Hey, Kylie's back.
Oh, really?
Audrey's gone. Kylie's back.
Really?
Yes, really.
All right.
There we go.
She went to another line. Kylie.
Sorry, cell phone.
That's all right. All right. We ain't done with you, baby doll. Now, Kylie is a... all right. Now that Audrey's gone, and I did enjoy the poetic justice of her not telling me how much goddamn Playboy offered her, and then 10 seconds later, what do you make? Yeah, see how people are? Fantastic. I'm praying she has her radio shut off now. I know the lump she had with her probably doesn't have FM in his town car. So you can go ahead and tell us what you charge.
I charge $500 an hour with a 3-hour minimum.
Wow.
3-hour minimum.
Wow.
Yeah.
Does the guy that wants you to pee on him ask for other stuff too?
That usually includes like sitting and talking and like I generally encourage going to dinner or having a drink and getting to know them.
Build some urine
a
up.
Little bit.
Yeah.
You gotta, that's gotta
it helps me on. And it.
Yeah.
Help 40 ounces. Establish a bond of
and
bond.
how do you work into that? What's the sort of, is there a
hold on, let me just say this. 500 bones an hour, get naked, baby. I'm gonna bang the bejesus out of you for 180 minutes. I can't imagine us just sitting at Applebee's on the meter running. Drew, you'd be going insane, by the way. You're just like, you're like meters running. You're sitting. She's like, any dessert for you guys? Yeah. What do you? I'll have the apple tart. That sounds like ice cream.
Like, for me.
Drew's going insane. Like he's paying for her dinner. She's been sitting here for an hour and 10 minutes. Drew's like, we're now up to $586.53. Meters running. Drew's going insane. He has an erection. That would be torture for you. Be awesome. She's ordered the surf and turf. You're going, oh, Drew, you'd be off the charts. All right, so you go out, so three, now what is the longest session someone has paid for?
3 days.
Whoa. And again, what do you do in those? I mean, what other things do they ask you to do? You're not having sex.
A lot of times it's just go places with them. Usually it's like casinos or... races or other social events.
Mm-hmm.
It's sort of like... exciting for these people that are interested in things that are not quite normal to
have the facade
of being normal and then have it go to very unnormal.
Uh-huh.
It's exciting to them. Not all of them, but some of them.
Like Pretty Woman if Julia Roberts was 60 pounds overweight and whizzed on you when you got back to the hotel.
Yeah.
And okay. What other stuff do they have you do?
You do the math, Drew. Come on.
Mudslide?
Yeah, I mean, occasionally I will adorn a strap-on. Usually it's you know, they want to be smacked, spit on, degraded.
Mm-hmm. How about number two? You ever do the two?
I have had requests for it. I cannot bring myself to do it.
Well, you can't blame a guy for asking.
Exactly.
You just can't. You can't blame a fella.
And Kylie has her standards, Adam. Please. How dare you ask me something like that?
What?
You're just not offering enough, right?
I do feel like, as I was saying to our young friend Audrey, by the way, $5 million, I could take naked pictures of her.
You see, immediately,
you give you enough money and Yeah, you'll get the
mudslide. But immediately what I get is that the children that were degraded horribly become these narcissistic a-holes.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, that horrible degradation becomes a source of attraction in adulthood.
Mm-hmm.
And they can't get anybody really to do it to the degree that they need it. And so they get it done. They pay for it.
Yeah.
But well, that's who those narcissistic a-holes are.
A lot of times, yeah. And sometimes it's not as obvious as that. It's something, like, really traumatic that happened to them when they were younger that got horribly twisted.
Right.
And,
What happens, though, when you urinate into someone's mouth?
Wait. You said they work through it? They actually change as a result of what you do to them?
To them, it helps them deal with it for whatever reason. And it doesn't really help them, but
they end up compulsively doing this now. It helps them deal with it in the moment.
Yeah, of course. Right. She's not a urine therapist. Hold on. That's a decent gig.
Wow.
I wouldn't mind getting that gig. And I know of what I say. I whiz in the sink.
Do you ever have guys like to wear diapers and crap themselves, that kind of stuff?
I don't do that.
They don't do that around
species in any kind of way. So I'm
How does it physically work when you urinate into one's mouth?
It took a lot of work. And actually, the first time I did it, I almost threw up.
Ew, that's extra though, right?
That's what I was thinking. I was like, I can't do that. I got to charge more.
No, just kidding.
No, it takes a lot of work. You have to really work the muscles.
Hold on a second. He means
position.
Yeah.
That means how are you, where are you?
Yeah, listen, I could.
Okay.
I can whiz wherever I want, whenever I want. And by the way, let me just say this very quickly. I don't like to brag about my urination prowess.
However.
You know, 100 episodes of The Man Show, there were fans out there. Never got more praise than the time we're doing the Wheel of Destiny. And I was able to urinate on a guy's wallet in front of 200 people. But I just turned my back to the live audience of screaming people and immediately began urinating on the wall. And people kept coming up to me. I can't believe you could do that. And I was like, I had to take a whiz. And they're like, oh, no, I could never. I can't even go at the airport, you know. And I'm like, oh, no, so I take a whiz. Sick. And I just started urinating immediately. There's 200 people. I was in a room the size of a blimp hangar with no walls in it. And I just started whizzing all over this guy's wall. Poor guy had a picture of his kids and a pilot license. But the point is I guess a lot of people can't just sort of do this. Obviously, I'm a pro. They can't just do this on command.
Yeah, but Adam, weren't you drinking beer at the time?
No. Well, yes. No, I was drinking beer afterwards.
It doesn't matter, though. You always have to have a good source of volume.
Yeah, listen, Weisenheimer. Okay. You put away a couple of beers and get 200 strangers screaming and see how fast urinate.
That'd be cool.
I drink a lot of water.
All right.
So what are you doing?
Physically, how does it work? Where is the guy? Is he on the bed? Is he on the floor?
Bathtub?
Generally, I will request that they sit in a shower or a bathtub.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Because that way you can stand up on the tub and it makes it easier.
But what's the build up to this? Is there some sort of ritual?
Drum roll and then when he gets hit with the urine. Is that what you're talking about?
Then
the band strikes up.
What do you mean by build up?
How do you get to that point even? I mean, I guess you
honestly,
sort of agree.
Most of the time, they just kind of go, hey, can we do that now?
Right. Wow. And you do urinate into their mouth?
With as much accuracy as I possibly can.
Sure.
And that's where they want it?
Mm-hmm.
All these guys like to be peed on, like it in the mouth.
No. A lot of times it's just, on top of their head or sometimes, down their chest or,
And do they consume it? Do they drink it?
Yes.
Oh.
Yeah, they like yogis.
That's what my question is I've been looking online and I found that urine is sterile, but I'm thinking there has to be some kind of risk of disease or bacterial infection or something with them consuming urine.
No, they get a pretty good urea burden with that, and they...
too much in their body. They have their own and somebody else's?
They'll clear it quickly. And if you have viral illnesses, that can be transmitted that way, so hepatitis C or HIV
just
or something.
Kylie going, you suck on this tampon. I'm going to go in the next room and change. Are you okay?
You'll be all right.
You okay?
Just get you through this.
Yeah.
But even those are extreme. I don't think there are any documented cases of urine passing.
All right.
Conditions.
Listen, it's good times. People do it on lifeboats all the time. let me ask this. Are the guys masturbating while this is happening?
Not always. I would not say always. About 50-50.
Uh-huh.
They go home and masturbate? Or you leave them alone to do that?
Generally, I don't have a lot of say in it. They just kind of, you know, mm-hmm. do it whenever they feel like it.
Are a lot of these guys heading home to wives and families?
It really depends on the fetish. Usually, the golden shower, as it's called, fetishes, they're usually not married.
Huh.
Usually single or divorced. Mm-hmm. There are some, I mean, obviously, but it does tend to be...
Well, obviously, Adam.
Sure.
I mean...
By the way, that's... look, it's all I can do to get the stripper smell off me after a little night of lap dancing with the boys before I head home. I couldn't imagine the full head of urine. You know, that at that point, you just have to take gasoline and pour it all over yourself and just say, this is a... car blew up. Just light yourself on fire at that point. You know what I mean? Yes, it was, you know, look, I was at the Shell station. A guy driving a big rig spun out of control, took the whole, I mean, it's a disaster. I can't, you see it? It's on the news.
Ugh.
Oh, good times with Kylie. Oh, you want to see how much she weighs? Kylie.
Yeah.
Are you a big gal?
No.
No.
I'm tall, but I'm thin.
Ooh. What do you look like?
I'm 5'9", mm-hmm. About 130 pounds. Wow. I have long brown hair, hazel mm-hmm. green eyes.
Mm. Do you you have a boyfriend?
Hippie.
Mm. I don't.
No.
Do you hate men?
No, I don't. I dated a guy for 11 years, but...
But aren't you a little disgusted now?
Went different ways.
Aren't you a little disgusted by men now?
No. Not really. I'm a little... cautious when I get into relationships, but I wouldn't say...
Sure. You don't want to get hooked up with a weirdo.
Yeah, I mean...
You don't know what kind of weirdos guys are into. Believe me, I could tell you. I give you a real education. Yeah. Let me explain what the world's like out there. A lot of these guys, button-down guys, you don't know what's lurking in the shadows. A lot of weirdos out there. Tell you what. Yeah. They want to have sex in positions other than missionary. They expect sex, like, you know, the first 5 dates or something. There's weirdos out there. Sure. All right, so Kylie, so you make good money doing this.
I do.
Then during the week, you work with children.
No, I don't.
Oh, okay, actually. Good. And when does this end for you?
I'm going to be retiring the end of this year. I'm taking the money and putting it into an investment. So as soon as I get enough money to invest in my other business adventures, I will.
What are you investing in?
I'd rather not say, if that's okay. Yeah.
Right. I mean, like a restaurant or something, that kind of business?
Yeah, it's sort of a mainstream kind of thing.
All right. Okay.
Yeah, just buying an Arby's franchise.
Yeah, good.
All right, so stay away from lemonade. Kylie?
Just have a special drink called the urine cup.
So there's money. How much would you reckon you make a week in this endeavor?
A week? I would say probably... anywhere from, you know, 1,500 to 3,000. Would be an average. I don't work a lot.
Yeah, all right. No, I understand. All right. Well, listen,
wow.
Businesswoman.
Interesting.
All right.
Very interesting.
It is. And it's interesting that there's, it's more interesting that there's guys out there, not that the Kylie urinates on people for a living. And also, you know, I know this, you know, Drew, you've always had a career and, you know, we've always argued about this, but to so many people I grew up with, work is about the money, pure and simple.
Yeah.
And the stuff that they're having to do, which is, you know, I don't know, they're driving a cab or they're a receptionist in
right.
some dentist's office where they're getting $8 an hour and
right,
taxes
right.
are being taken out and stuff. It's just hard to tell those people, you know, $500 an hour. No, don't do it.
No, she does not strike me as a trauma person so much because she,
right.
she's smart and she's only doing a limited basis and she sort of got weirdly into it. And you know, she's not the typical.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't sound like she's acting on her stuff so
much.
No,
but still, it's got to take its pound of flesh.
Oh,
out of
yeah.
her.
It'll take a toll out of her soul.
Yeah. All right. Let's talk to.
It's break time.
It is break time, but let me just say, Anthony.
Yeah.
You have a Germany or Florida for us?
Yes, I do.
All right. Hold on. We're going to take a break. Come back, play a little something we like to call Germany or Florida.
Hello,
Hotline. I'm Adam, that's Dr. Drew. Wild Boys in here tomorrow night. Chris Pontius and Steve O.
Oh, boy.
All right. You ready to rock?
Here we go.
Talk to Anthony. Play a little Germany or Florida. Go ahead, Anthony.
All right. Okay. A man murdered a female acquaintance and dumped her burned body in a remote location. 7 weeks after the crime, he remembered that she had been wearing jewelry and returned to the body to recover the loot. But the charred skeleton had been found and identified the day before. When deputies stopped the suspicious vehicle on the road, the driver attempted to get away. Instead, he crashed into the police portable command post, where he was later arrested.
Mm-hmm.
Wow, that sounds like Florida.
Oh, man.
Doesn't it?
Yeah. Florida.
Yeah, Florida.
Yeah, it's Florida.
Yeah. And no specifics, just feel. Mm. Just felt Florida.
Well, first off, say what you will about the Germans. And as you know my policy with Germany.
Punish.
They need to be punished. Mm. Or I'm not done punishing them.
That's your policy.
Well.
That's your policy, yeah.
The 80 million people, they were directly responsible for putting in the ground. You got your World War One. You got your World War Two. You know, people focus on, they rounded up 6 million Jews. There's another 20 million Russians, and that's World War II. Forget about all the sort of just sort of collateral stuff that goes on from those a-holes starting those two wars. They couldn't have, they gave it 20 years before they started the next one. That's not a real long time in human history. You got one country starting a world war in, 1915 or whatever, ends up like in 1918 or whatever, and then 20 years later, bow! Hey, we're moving again. Hey, everybody. What? Another world war. Oh, who's starting this one? Same country. Well, Jesus, they just had one. They're starting another
one. Can we take care of them?
No. They're starting another one. Oh, what are they doing? They're squashing Poland. This time's a little twist, though. Before, it was just a world war. This time, they're doing experiments on fetuses and twins and Jews and gypsies and Oh, no, it's a whole different part of this. They're gassing Jews. They're rounding up Jews.
Well, it's for the good of humanity. Well, this time they're doing it for the good of humanity.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is the first war they started 20 years ago that, took out 50 million people.
My God.
This one has a twist. They're not only waging war, they're also simultaneously rounding up Jews and other folks and gas torturing them and gassing them.
Nice.
Oh, really? It seems like they'd want to focus on the war. Yeah, they're multitasking. Okay. All right. So here's what happened. We'll get all our resources together, spend millions and billions and billions of dollars. We'll ship it all over there. They're going to sink all these container ships we send over there, all the Liberty ships, the Wolf Pack, the subs will sink. Most of those guys will just have a watery grave. And, oh, by the way, all the Jeeps and all the equipment we make, just go right down to the bottom of the Atlantic. That's awesome. That's just right at the bottom. That's all your taxpayer money and everything, all that rubber, all this stuff. And just boom, all down the bottom. And just millions and millions of tons just straight down the bottom of the ocean. Eventually, we'll win after a huge death, human toll and financial toll. And then we'll basically help them rebuild. We'll get them set back up again. And next thing you know, everyone's driving a Mercedes and BMW. Here's my take. Let's bomb them. I want to bomb them now. I just want to bomb.
Just in case.
Not even just in case. Like, not done. Unfinished business. Here's the thing. I don't know what you guys are thinking. I'm not sure what you're planning. Maybe it's nothing. Maybe it's something. Maybe you got something up your sleeve. Maybe you changed your ways. Either way, here's a couple bombs. There you go. And when they go, oh, what? What is this? I can't believe this is an outrage. They would be outraged, would they not? They would be outraged. Germany would be like, what the F? How dare you? It'd be like, yeah. Interesting. Yeah. Let's go ask some, ask the Poles how they feel about that. Yeah. Just bombing people willy-nilly, starting trouble when you didn't have to outside your border. Yeah. You guys invented that, remember? That's your idea. You taught us how to do that. Let's just bomb Germany. I'm not talking carpet bombing, but let's take out like Mainz. It was just a smaller town. I don't want to hit any car factories. That's my feeling. I don't want to go to Stuttgart. Right. I don't want to screw with Porsche or Mercedes or any of that stuff. You know what I mean?
Let's take one last call. We got 2 minutes.
You don't want to bomb Germany?
I don't want to bomb Germany right now. No. I appreciate your point
of view. You do like my plan,
that's
though, right?
An excellent plan.
Are
excellent.
We done with them?
Evidently.
Do you think that's fine? I mean, yeah, everything's cool? Yeah. All right.
Well, we're not. It's not like we've evacuated. We've got a few hundred thousand soldiers left behind there. Keep
an
eye on them.
Let's get them busy. Let's put them to something. That's all I'm saying.
Nicole, 18.
Hi, how are y'all?
What's happening?
Nothing. Okay, here's my situation. I've been with this guy for about a year and a half now, and we're not together right now because he has a really bad temper, and about, 2 weeks ago, he kind of, took it out on me, and,
Yeah, Nicole, just your little girl voice freaks us out right away. I mean, we figure something happened to you growing up, and the fact that you would dismiss a guy's violence as just having a bad temper means that you must have grown up around that stuff to believe that this is in any way acceptable.
But she did break up with him, or did you not?
Well,
see.
Yeah, I left right then, and I was freaking out, and I haven't really talked to him for about the last 2 weeks. And
good,
you're done. You're done.
What
with
him. Did your dad do? Was he abusive?
Do what?
Your dad?
Oh no, not at all. I just had a relationship with him at all.
You didn't have a relationship?
No.
How about your stepdad?
No, he's my real dad, and he's around and everything. He's just not very there.
Was your mom abusive?
Do what?
Was your mom violent or abusive?
She has really bad temper. And
yeah, Nicole, that's not really bad temper. So stop saying that. That is somebody who is violent, aggressive, inappropriate, and abusive. Really bad temper is a way of glossing over something that's very serious.
All right, but the point is you're broken up with this guy, right?
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Done.
You're done.
Stop the cycle. You're going to hook up with people that are abusive because that's what you come to expect from relationships. Stop.
Yeah. Here's the thing, everybody. For people who aren't abusive, it is not in their vocabulary to lay their hands on people, especially women. It's not in their vocabulary. People think, well, he was really upset, or if you push him far enough, he's going to do it. There's no threshold that I have that where I could put my hands on a woman in a violent way.
Yeah.
I don't have it in me. It's impossible. You can't tap into it. So the idea that, well, he just got pushed and that's where he got. No. That's a guy who's capable of doing it.
Right.
You can't be with those people.
Right, or he's a bad temper. But, yeah, if he's drinking and he becomes out of control because he's intoxicated,
right?
Again, that's a separate issue related to violence and aggression. It's alcoholism. Right. This is just flat-out abuse.
We'll take a little break. Be right back after this. Well, that's it. I want to thank Audrey for coming in here tonight from The Apprentice on Thursday nights, NBC, 9 o'clock, one of our favorite shows. And looking forward in advance to Chris Pontius and Steve-O coming in here from Wild Boys on MTV.
I'm going to bring a sponge with me.
Yeah, I'm going to bring a vat of Purell. So until next time, Adam Kroll for Dr. Drew saying mahalo.
Take one last call. We got 2 minutes.
You don't want to bomb Germany?
I don't want to bomb Germany right now. No.
This has been Loveline. The opinions expressed on this show are not necessarily those of the staff, management, sponsors, or this station. The producer for Loveline is Ann Ingold. Loveline is a presentation of Westwood One Entertainment.